into place because we wanted to start adding our own components. And basically everything started was smooth. I came from school 2 years ago and I just didn't, I didn't do a university degree, I just had a simple education. And I started looking, well, for instance, the JPEG codec in our operating system is flimsy, it was in need of an update, and somebody had written one. I started testing it and I was in heaven. The thing worked perfectly. And then suddenly a colleague of mine shouted through the room while I was testing, hey, have you seen this link? And that was the link from Fortune about software patents. And that they were claiming the JPEG. Well, that's how I rolled into software patents and how I started doing research in it. I've heard some very interesting things over the last couple of days. And I would just like to re-emphasize some of the things that have been put forward. Some things I think have been left out, and now that the recorder is running, I think would be a good point to re-emphasize those things and that it could be publicized on the website. But basically, as we said, software inflation, software these days is done very, it has a very short lifespan, so software patents, if they are there, we shouldn't have that. They should have a short lifespan. Another thing is that companies can enforce their monopoly easy, and the European Union wants to have a knowledge-based economy with IT in it. So, and they want to have open source. It's a buzzword for politicians, so software patents will just bury that. There are two things that I would like, that I can wrap up with. First thing is, I've mentioned it previously, and I mentioned it today just after the lady from the European Parliament left, that is, when the software patents would come into place, we kept getting the reassurance from the politicians that we've heard so far that there would be clear guidelines, and that's a very important thing that you need to emphasize, that we would give clear guidelines to the examiners of the patent, what can be patented and what cannot be patented. And that's such a small detail out of the whole process. But that is exactly where the software patent is leaning on, because the examiner at its desk on Monday morning that's going to take a cup of coffee and he's going to examine a software patent. Well, just as everybody has discussed previously, how do you examine a software patent? I don't think the knowledge is there, and that's why we simply don't need any software patents at all, because the examiners are going to fail at examining the patents. And as a last point, the point was made, we need to harmonize our patent legislation. But why do we need to harmonize our patent legislation with who? With the United States and Japan, I think. Well, and I don't think we need software patents. Because of all the, it has cost me 3 months to do negotiations and research in just a couple of patents, and I'm doing that alone. And that's why I say no thank you to software patents. I wish I could have said this in front of the committee, but if anybody wants to have some examples of software patents, I just suggest you go to slash.org and just enter patent, and you will get a truckload of patents. And small people, there are two examples already of individuals that have been just picked out of the lottery and sued. One guy has been sued because he was running a web server and somebody had patented some kind of method of sending data over the internet. And he was. Thank you for your time.
Sorry for shortening this. I was just thinking, it's probably like the big political subjects, these things, so what everybody says is very similar.
JPEG patent.
And that's also that were you, did somebody approach you and say you should pay something?
No, that's the whole problem. I did it all very carefully, and the problem is I'm not going to step up the fortune and say, hey, I've got a JPEG patent, I've got somebody something with JPEG patent, and I may be infringing your patent. I'm not going to step up to them and say, hey, sue me, because as soon as I another important question.
Yes,
when you step up to a patent holder,
don't dare to ask, but afraid you might be infringing, but you don't want to ask anybody whether you might be.
That's also a problem. If you're an honest businessman, you want to stick to the rules, and you approach somebody, what is there for legal guidelines? I mean, then they can suddenly say, hey, you're coming to us? Oh, well, good. Well, this is what you need to pay. There are no conditions about how you can license it.
Yeah,
they can set the terms.
Stay away, stay out of harm's way. It creates great legal insecurity.
Yeah, but just by approaching a party, you can already set yourself on fire. Can you speak up?
Software patents help companies
competition, eventually on industry structure, whether that will be better for big companies or for small companies. And sometimes people consider the effects of software patents, the side effects of software patents. For example, having many software patents creates a nice economy for patent attorneys and lawyers and increases the know-how on managing lawsuits or disputes in that area. And a country which has a long history of dealing with software patents will be more competitive in the area of managing disputes than a young comer to the software patent world. So these are the traditional ways to consider economy and software patents. And those approaches tend to think about a general goodness or a general impact on society. The big problem is that society does not exist as a decision-making person. So that's very interesting from a scientific point of view, but society, from my point of view, does not exist, because society does not really make decisions. People make decisions that can be the head of the IP departments of large companies, or that can be managers of the fiscal administration. So today I want to consider the software patent issue from the point of view of somebody working in the fiscal administration. What is the consequence of having more software patents? Will I collect more taxes, or will I collect less taxes afterwards? That's the point of view. Forget about general goodness, economy growth, innovation. That's not the point today. The point is, will software patents allow to collect more taxes or less taxes? I'm not anymore a civil servant, but if I had been a civil servant, I would probably have thought somehow that way. If you want to, that's a little bit of provocation to say, will I collect more taxes or less taxes? A more constructive way would be, will I use the taxpayer's money the right way or not? Or will the taxpayer pay taxes for a right purpose or not? But let's go back really to the simple thing, will I collect more taxes or less taxes? So, when we consider taxes, there is the money we collect from your income tax you pay every year, for example. There is the money There's the money which is spent by the administration, like to pay a patent examiner to examine a patent. And there are subventions when we give money to companies that's like taxpayers' money. So that's the thing we talk about today. Oh, sorry. So, one professor called Lévesque and two students called Dupuy and Tardieu wrote one of the first papers I know of, I'm sure there are others which were written before, about the economy of a patent office. If I'm the head of a patent office in a world without software patents, there are people like Mr. Smedsby who send software patents with 35 euros, that's how much it costs in France, and I have to pay some examination person 2,000 euros to write a letter to Mr. Smets to tell him sorry, software is not patentable. So there is a loss of 1,965 euros. If there are software patents, well, Mr. Smets will pay every year maybe 100 or 200 euros during 20 years, and I will have paid the examiner 2,000 euros. So the patent office in the second case makes the profit. That's a general thing which is quite well known. The profits when they grant patents, and they lose money when they reject patents. And the patent office is currently merely considered as a subsidiary of the Ministry of Finance. That means the civil servant in charge of patents are very happy when the patent office can pay its employees by itself through its patent fees it collects to everybody. So I think another study which was in that area where it was done was by Philippe Ecrin, the European Commission, which concluded that like the European Patent Office was self-financing itself and had a growth in terms of budget, which was I think 2% every year, and no other public administration has such a tremendous growth. Sorry? Look, I can't say more on that. Ask Philippe Grau. It's not the main issue of the talk. But that's one way people have looked at. So today we will look at things a little bit differently. So I prefer really questions at the end. That's the first time I do it. So the first thing to know is what is an asset, and to know how we account assets in a company. So a factory, the building of a factory can be considered as an asset. A machine can be an asset. The stock we have can be considered as an asset. That's a tangible asset. It's a material good. And there are intangible assets, so I think the stock in another company, or a patent, or a trademark, or a copyright, these are intangible assets. We can trade stock, we can trade patents, and a company which has so many patents is considered to have maybe a large value because there's a large value of the asset is quite high. Maybe an internet domain name is an asset, but I sometimes have difficulties to convince my accountant that it is. An employment contract? Is that compatible with the end of slavery? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Know-how? That's very hard to formalize. That's an asset, of course, in a company, but from an accounting point of view, who knows? And secret, the fact of keeping something secret, so it's probably also an asset, but accountingly speaking, not at all, I think. So first thing, what happens, so let's talk about assets. My company buys a machine today which costs 100,000 euros. What is the consequence on my profits? Can you answer? Yes? Very good. So nothing. That's nothing immediately. So I buy my one, and I acquire a machine which is 100,000 euros. The consequences on my profit is nothing. That was a short reminder. Now let's compare copyright and patent. When we talk about patent, I have no problem to convince my accountant that it is a serious asset. She knows where to put it in the accounting as a number of accounts. It's really easy. If I say patent, she knows it's an asset, she puts it at the right number in the accounting software. And also that asset will lose value quite quickly, between 7 and 20 years. If I consider the same thing for copyright, I have some difficulties to convince her that it is an asset. So what will happen is she will spend time and money to ask the right person how she should deal with the copyright work in terms of assets. It's non-ending, but well, it's very impractical. She doesn't always know which account number to assign it to, and she doesn't know how fast it loses value. So, if we compared also the fiscality of copyright and patent, for copyright, it's not that's different. If I do R&D, if I pay some guy to do R&D, I can put all his costs as an investment, which becomes an asset. That's very easy. I have to convince my accountant. Also, when there are transactions on patents between two companies, the income tax which will be generated by the transaction will be different from the usual income tax. So the added value in a patent transaction can benefit from this quite interesting fiscal exemptions. And also, the revenues of patent royalties in some countries is zero. So these are the three main differences. So, let's keep on what happens when I pay one person during 1 year to create a patent. What happens on my profits? So, it's the same as with a machine. Nothing. So if I pay one guy 100,000 euros during 1 year, and if I say this is R&D which generates a patent which is an asset, so I lose nothing. If I pay one person to prepare coffee for me every day, I lose 100,000 euros. If I pay one person during 1 year to write software, copyrighted works, so I probably lose 100,000, except if I really have a good accountant, that depends the country, so it's not that easy. So the question, if I pay one guy during a year for 100,000 euros to develop a new patented technology, prepare coffee for me sometimes, and also write software, what is the consequence of my profits? What? Sorry? Yeah. But I can also think that his main task was really to do coffee or new way. Well, no. So I will explain to my accountant that he was doing a 10-20% of copies, 50% of software, and 10% of patents, and I can get the value I want. Okay. So I will review the reminder two. So reminder two, I pay one guy to develop the patent for 1 year. That has no consequences on my profit. I pay a nano woman to prepare coffee for a year, and that has a consequence as a 100,000 euro loss. And now number three, I ask him or her to do copyrighted works, and it has a consequence as a 100,000 loss, probably. So if I pay that, again, the same person to do a mixture of the three, it has an undetermined consequence on my profit or losses. So that's the basic thing to look at. When we write software, we invent and we create original works. And I really can't say what is the share between the two. And if I combine that, for example, with services, like providing services to other companies, then really I can say anything I want to my accountant. So here are the applications. During bad times, all my personnel will do a lot of research and development, and I will file many patents, and that will reduce my corporate losses. And when times become better, my pay merger and acquisition, that I learned it through like real accountants who did a big merger and acquisition in Europe between two electronic giants, and she explained to me that she was so happy she could use so many software patents to reduce, to benefit from special fiscal conditions on the added value generated by the merger and acquisition. But she was worried about the value of such patents, but she preferred not to think about it. And the last case is that profits export. That's a traditional thing which most big companies do in underdeveloped countries. One usual trick is called management fees. Huge. When you have a subsidiary in Indonesia, for example, first of all, so these are standard techniques, but their problem is that they don't smell so good, whereas patents smell good. And exporting profits as patent royalties is something which will generate much less questions from the fiscal administration. So the techniques in that area are one, to have a headquarters in Ireland, because Ireland provides 0% a total exemption on patent profits, except on the profits which are generated in the United States, because there is a special convention between Ireland and the US which does not allow to use this exemption for US profits. So that's why US companies have a great interest to have their headquarters in Ireland. They will take all their profits from the other European countries to Ireland to pay the royalties with a 0% tax on that, and then they can either keep it there or move it wherever they want. And that's why Ireland is the largest software exporter in the world.
So again, EGRA did very nice studies on that. Oh, sorry. That's the bug. I don't know that bug. Sorry. How can I do now? Escape. Oof. It's a strange. Ah, okay. Maybe. Yeah. Here. Yeah. Okay. Now good.
So, let's look now at the Ministry of Finance balance. Without software patents, they have to pay examination people to reject patents, and with software patents they And there will be a lot of fiscal losses generated by the techniques I showed before. And then the question is, does Phaeton have enough positive effect on economic growth to compensate the fiscal loss by the economic growth? Because if there is economic growth, companies pay more taxes. So this is how we can look at things. In traditional industry, maybe patents tend to generate enough economic growth to cover the fiscal loss which patents create. But in the software economy, we know that software patents generate no economic growth or negative economic growth on the software economy. So we know that for the Ministry of Finance, having software patents will create tremendous fiscal losses. So 100 euros per patent is something which is easy to achieve in terms of fiscal loss or fiscal gain. This one? Okay. So the Ministry of Finance is like the head owns usually the patent office. If there are no software patents, we have to pay examiners to write letters to say this is not patentable. So we receive 35, we pay 2,000, something like that. The figures don't really matter, and we lose a little bit of money. But if there are patents, I should have removed software in that place, sorry. We receive the fees, we have to pay the examiners, and the fiscal administration doesn't get taxes which it would have got if there were no software patents or if there were no patents. Like when a company does a merger and acquisition, that's the fiscal loss. Because by using a patent, the added value will be taxed at, let's say, 16% instead of 35%. So that's the fiscal loss generated by the fact that the companies use patents not to pay less taxes. But at the same time, if patents are very useful to create more innovation and more competition, maybe we can think that this will create more economic growth. And we know that when there is more economic growth, the fiscal administration receives more money. So when the economy is growing slow, the public budget is not going, is going in the red direction. And if economic growth becomes higher, then the public budget becomes closer to zero, the balanced budget. So that's why if we are in traditional industry and if we consider that patents are good for innovation and for economic growth, maybe patents are also good for the fiscal administration. But in the software industry, where we know that they have no or bad consequences on innovation and competition, then we know that for the fiscal administration, having software patents will only generate fiscal losses. This is the framework. This is just a draft. It should be studied much more carefully. So now about salaries. If I pay myself a lot, which is not the case now, but let's say if I pay myself 5,000 euros a month, that would cost my company 10,000 euros a month, and out of my 5,000, I would have to give 2,500 to the state. So that's a ratio of 75% of the money a company makes ends up as taxes, and 25% as pocket money for everyone. If I am an investor, I don't need to pay many social spendings, like social security, And now let's talk about subsidies. If I go to visit an administration in France which is supposed to help industry, it's called the Regional Industry and Research and Environment Administration. If I go and I say I do software which is copyrighted, some people will eventually say, sorry, we don't provide subsidies for culture. And if I say I have patents, since patents is only for industrial application, it's easy to get subsidies both from the innovation agency and from the industry agency. So it has a very nice effect on the civil servant in front of me when I say I have a patent. It's much easier to get a subsidy. Sometimes it's compulsory to have a patent to get a subsidy. And filing the patent is subsidized itself 80% of all companies. So the Minister of Industry talks about subsidies, but the Minister of Finance, when they talk about subsidies, they talk about fiscal spending, fiscal losses. So that's also something to consider in the balance, in the fiscal balance, the subsidies which more companies will get by having patents. So the conclusion from my point of view is that the proposed directive on software patents will open very nice exemptions for all service activities. So if you, my presentation yesterday showed how it was easy to get a patent for any service activity under the proposed directive. So for those who were not there, I showed a few patents on how to compute the value of a stock or the mean price of goods in a stock. And that is patented in Europe. There are a few hundreds already. So that means if you have a service activity like a professional translation activity, you can patent your way of organizing by patenting a software which mimics your way of organizing. So, and that by using the tricks I showed on the assets, that allows to save taxes. Also, another thing which is interesting is the fact that many activities, like in the big companies, used to be like mechanics. the many people having to sign, especially the managers, have to agree on what the guy said. Thank you.
ways